Matthew chapter number 4. And we're going to have this text, but we'll be dealing with a number of texts. But I'm going to talk about an important subject tonight. And this is just kind of a verse that illustrates this truth, and we'll be talking a number of places. One of the great keys of going forward in the Christian life. And you know, you need to go forward in the Christian life. It's easy to stagnate. And if you're stagnating, you're probably going backwards. We live in an evil world. And that world is a powerful negative force on souls. A Christian life is a wrestling match. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of the world. You know, one of the great keys of going forward in the Christian life is to be a Christian of decisions and decisiveness. The key to going forward is making decisions for God and being decisive for God. You know, sinful nature makes it easy for people to be decisive for sin and decisive for whatever else, you know. People get a craw in their throat, you know, and they decide to be bitter, or they decide to do wrong, or they decide, boy, I tell you what, that's easy to do. Anybody can do that, be decisive to do the wrong thing. And, you know, that really fits in with man's pride. Man's really proud, you know, they made this decision to go backwards or to be, you know, bitter or to withdraw or do what they're going to do. But, you know, Christian life is a higher level than that. The Christian life has to do with being decisive about that which is right. Being decisive about that which is right. Matthew chapter 4. And that great verse 18 and 19, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Notice this great confrontation of the Lord with his future disciples. And he's calling them to be decisive about a very big decision. He says, come, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. You know, this was not just some little insignificant call. This is not some insignificant claim upon their life. He was calling them to leave all. Not only leave all outwardly, but he was calling them to surrender to him that he would be able to transform their lives. I marvel at not only the call for decisiveness and the call for a decision, but I marvel at the immediacy of the decision, the decisiveness of the disciples to follow Christ. Now you think about that today. In one sense, I mean, that is the real heart of real biblical Christianity. On the other sense, that is the great lack of today, test of the lack of life of the Christian community and churches. This lack of decisiveness to do right. This lack of decisiveness to obey God. We have this this cancerous, so to speak, this deadness that makes churches blasé, and they hear truth and nothing happens. Isn't that amazing? I think about that. It's exactly the way it was like in the days of John the Baptist. As he describes the apostasy of the day and of his hour, this lack of decision, this lack of decisiveness, this lack of following the truth. And I think of that that passage there in I'm not sure where it is in the Gospels, and he said about John the Baptist said, and you can find the verse, I slipped my mind. He says, I've piped unto you, and you have not danced. In other words, I preached, but there's no decision. I gave you truth, but there's no response. And it's a sure symbol of lifelessness and a sure mark of the lack of the real work of God amongst the people of God, a lack of ability to decide to do what is right. As we think about, test your own soul tonight. Test your own soul. How is your soul? What is your soul? How is your soul able to respond to the truth? What do you do when you hear the truth? Is there a response? Or is you just glad to get tickled a little bit? And you see, that's really the crux of the whole issue of the heart of being a Christian and walking with the Lord. I was thinking about a number of places in the Bible that talks about decisiveness. The prophet Elijah called the people and the prophets of Baal to Mount Carmel. And he says, as he gathered them, he said, okay, if the Lord be God, then follow him. And if Baal be God, then follow him. Why halt ye between two opinions? Notice the lack of decisiveness, the indecision, the deadness of the people in the times of apostasy. He says, why halt ye between two opinions? Joshua, what did he say to the people? Joshua 24 and verse number 15. Of course, that great phrase, Joshua 24 and verse 15. It says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Make a choice. Make a decision. Do something about it. God has done all this for you. What are you going to do about it? And so, he brings them to, he gives them to a point of decision. If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me, notice his decisiveness. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Wow. You know, it's not maybe. There's the decisiveness. You know, it is sad That we live in a day that people can be so decisive about evil and so and be so paralyzed in making decisions for God and for right. Boy, it's a sign of the apostasy of the hour, isn't it? And we see revival, spirit of the Word of God, is people are decisive. They do something about the Word of God. And they're decisive about the things of God. Now, on the great day of Pentecost, Peter preached. And he said, you know, this Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. And they were pricked and they said, what shall we do? And he says, think about it. No. What shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Notice, there was no this namby-pamby stuff. Decisiveness. Decisiveness to do what is right. Oh man, we all have a will. We exercise that will. But the real test of our spiritual will is the ability to decide and the decisiveness to decide to do what is right. Even decisiveness to do what's right when it incriminates us. And so, the Philippian jailer, Paul, Silas, singing there, praising God, the angel comes, open the prison doors, and the Philippian jailer says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know, that word believe is a call to decision about what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. And so throughout the Bible we have this spirit of decisiveness. This is the mark of the work of God. This is the reality of the people of God of going forward in victory. It is the key principle. You know, as you know, the human thinking is that, you know, the older you get in the Lord, the easier it is. Opposite. You know, if that was true, the churches would be packed, overflowing with gray heads. Because there's multitudes that have professed Christ. But the fact is, as time goes on, it is always a greater challenge to do right. There's always more opportunities to be ensnared by the devil and to be overcome by sin. It's just the nature of life. There are far more opportunities in 40 some years to be overcome by sin and to fail than there is in 6 months. That's just the fact. How do you not get overcome by sin? How do you keep going forward? There's a great principle is this principle of decisiveness and the ability to be decisive for good and for God's will and to respond to the Spirit of God. That's the key. Decisiveness. You know, intellectualism doesn't do anything but make people dead. You can know whatever, but if you don't do anything about it, you are going to be dead as a doornail. You got to do something about the truth. The truth is living truth. Now, you know, there's a number of things we need to be decisive about. And these aren't necessarily any particular order. But we need to be decisive about biblical facts. We need to be decisive about biblical truth. Brother Ika gave an illustration tonight, testimony, that he made a decision about a truth in the Bible. Praise the Lord. But you know, we need to be decisive about facts. And I was thinking of a very simple fact. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, that's a fact. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Well, okay, that's a nice verse, isn't it? Well, that's a nice verse. Memorize that, you know. Get a star in your Sunday school class. Boy, that's a nice verse. No, that's not a lot more than a nice verse. That's a verse that needs to be acted upon. Acted upon. There need to be decisiveness about it. Now, young person, hey, you don't need me to be preaching at you about having the right kind of friends. Hey, if you're saved and you got the Holy Spirit and you got the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. What are you going to do about it? You better do something about it. You better decide on your own that you are going to separate from the wrong kind of influences. I mean, that's real Christianity. That's about being honest. And if you have a friend or a situation and you know that is hurting your soul and you talk about the wrong things and it's easy to do wrong around them and they aren't an encouragement to you, to your soul, you know what? You need to be decisive. Amen. If you aren't decisive, guess what? Who wins? Sin, right? Sin will win. How do you win in life? Be decisive about the fact. Be decisive about the facts. You know, I guess you need some kind of lightning bolt from heaven to hit you when you read your Bible. Better not. You won't get too many. You won't get too many. But there has to be this decisiveness. Lord, nobody else knows. But you know, and I know. And Lord, I can't do it anymore. It's over. Decisiveness. Decisions. About facts. There needs to be a decisiveness about God's call on our life. A decisiveness about God's call. Now, I realize there are other things that are before this. But can you imagine the Lord saying to the disciples, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they forsook their nets and followed him immediately. Boy, what a picture of decisiveness, right? They heard God's call. They heard the call of God. You know, God's people ought to be anxious to hear His call. Amen? That ought to be the way it is. They ought to be anxious to hear the call of God. And when they heard that great call, and you know, Peter in Mark chapters 10, verse 29, he said, Lord, we have left all and followed thee. Lord, we've left all and followed thee. He did. They did. You know, the 1858 revival went through Great Britain. It touched America, too. It was called the Prayer Meeting Revival. And that great revival spread through Britain and Wales. One of the great, was called the great, one of the great revivals. It was a great revival in Wales. And as a result of that revival, there were thousands of people, literally thousands of people who were anxious to serve the Lord. And thousands of lay people who were desirous to give their lives for God. And Hudson Taylor came to England and he found thousands of willing workers. Many of them were lay people. And his call, what was his call? He said, come and die in China. And literally, over the next few years, thousands responded to that call. And literally, hundreds of them died in China. Some of them, just months into their stay in China, they died. But you know, think of today. Think of today. You know, if there's a great mass meeting of young people today and they call for volunteers, oh man, we would rejoice if there was one, maybe even two, wow, that would say, I want to serve the Lord. And yet history tells us that there was a day in which there was a great spirit of decisiveness about leaving all and following Jesus Christ. You know, I'm not talking about an emotional decision. Those don't last. But Luke chapter 14 talks about the real decision, and that talks about a person counting the cost. A person counting the cost. What it will cost them to follow Jesus Christ. And people gladly deciding that it is worth it to follow Jesus Christ and to leave the world. Decisiveness about the call. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 is a great principle in the Bible. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Bible says in Psalm 23 that He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. The leading of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the Holy Spirit is a great preacher. The Holy Spirit is a great comforter, and He is a great leader. Now, I'm going to put two points here together. But you know, the Holy Spirit leads people in the path of righteousness. And He does a great job. But you know, there's one kind of ground that He works best on. And that's the ground of people who are decisive for God. What a joy it is to hear the testimony of God's people. And to hear people telling about how soon after they're saved, The Spirit of God causes them to listen to the words of that rotten rock music of the world. And they hear what those songs say. And the Spirit of God works in our life and they say, that's it. I'm not listening to that stuff anymore. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit does. You know what? I believe in preaching against that junk. The devil's music, the devil's beat, the devil's rhythm, the jungle music. That stuff is right from the pit of hell. But you know what? The fact is, you don't really need my preaching. Because if you got the Holy Spirit in your heart, the Holy Spirit is grieved at that. The Holy Spirit reveals the dirt, the darkness of that. I know, but I think there's a truth there. That who does he reveal it to? He reveals it to decisive people. Those whose will is able to be exercised. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? People whose will is able to be exercised for right. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that you hear a truth and it comes for decision time. You know what you're going to do about that truth? You don't do anything. Well, why not? Because the will isn't working too good, is it? Do you know what I'm talking about? Will isn't working too good. You know what? The Holy Spirit knows whose will is working. Holy Spirit knows whose will is tender. Holy Spirit knows who is listening to His holy voice. And you know, there's a spiritual truth there. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Spirit of God knows where He has liberty, and that's where He works. You know, take the principles of the Bible. Meditate on the principles of the Bible. And see what the Holy Spirit says about applying that to our lives. And do something about it. You know what? The preacher's convictions aren't going to do you much good when I'm dead. Nor in this church when I'm dead. It's going to have to be a people who have been decisive about the work and the leading of the Holy Spirit as He takes the principles and the truths of the Bible and applies them to the life, and the person says, yes, Lord. That's the end of that. Amen? That's what it's like. You know, that's the real thing. That's the real thing. Someone gets saved and says, you know what? I'm not going to wear those clothes anymore. Man, praise the Lord. I guess Josh isn't here tonight. But I remember the night he got saved, that Sunday night he got saved. Praise the Lord. Guess what he did? He went home, and he went to his wife's closet, and he threw out everything that was immodest. Praise the Lord. Man, decisive. She was praying for her husband to be the spiritual leader. God answered the prayer. You know what? God is a God who calls us to decision, to decisiveness. not to sleepiness, not to laziness, not to just drifting along. We need to be decisive about his leading. We need to be decisive. We kind of put this together here. We need to be decisive about his conviction. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is the convictor. And, you know, it says when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And, you know, the simple truth is, if I preach a message and don't get some conviction out of it for myself, I just have to say that the sermon had to be a failure. Because the preacher ought to be able to be convicted about what he preaches, amen? And when the Holy Spirit convicts us, we ought to do something about it. That's a great principle. You know, and I fear for some people that just, I don't know, I guess the Holy Spirit, they must be such perfect Christians, they never get convicted. They must be so good, they never get convicted. You think that's true? I don't know. You know, here's how it goes. You know, we have our youth camp out. And boy, they get a lot of preaching all day long. And you know what your prayer is? Your prayer is that, man, you always have this prayer that the kids that aren't really close to the Lord, that they'll make decisions for God. And you know, you're praying for these kids, you know they're on the wrong path, and you know that their life is going to be destroyed if they don't get right with God, and they won't make decisions for God, and your heart is grieved and broken for them, and you preach your heart out, and guess who makes decisions? The ones that you thought were doing okay. And the ones that you know aren't doing okay, they didn't hear the voice of God. Isn't that amazing? And this young person that you think is doing so good, man, they come forward and they say, oh boy, God showed me things in my life and I need to get rid of those things and I need to get right with God and praise the Lord. What about the ones who it's obvious are going the wrong way? You see, there's a principle there. Decisiveness. Decision, the ability to decide to do right, is a key of life. And those who are seeking to go in the right direction, they're practicing that. They're practicing that. Maybe they're not doing as well as they ought to do, but they're practicing it. But the person who's going in the wrong direction, they don't practice it. And you know what? It's like pulling teeth to get them to make a decision for God. You know why? Their soul is at sleep. Their soul is at sleep. Now, you know, the Bible tells us that the spirit of the New Testament church, Matthew 28. And we come here often talking about this. Talks about the verse that talks about, what about those nations that have been discipled and those disciples that have been baptized? What does it say about them? It says, teaching them these baptized disciples, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Whoop, I read it wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. Teaching them to know all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? Were you following along? If you weren't following along, you missed it. Matthew 28, verse 20. This is really tricky. You got to follow along your Bible. See if that's what it says. Teaching them to know all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Is that what it says? Is it? No. What does it say? Teaching them to what? Observe. What is that observe all about? Decisiveness, amen? Decision, doing, action. It's not just truth. You remember, we're in a Western culture. Western culture is encyclopedic type of thinking. Encyclopedic type of thinking that thinks you arrived when you have things figured out. But that isn't biblical thinking. Biblical thinking is truth is only known as you obey it. Truth is only known as you obey it. It takes obedience, takes decisiveness. And you know, we need to be decisive before the Lord. We need to be decisive about God's Word as we read our Bibles. And of course, reading your Bible is a decision, isn't it? Amen? Why do you read your Bible? Oh, because you get this big feeling from heaven. Oh, I'm going to read my Bible. Well, I'll tell you what, it won't always happen that way, will it? You decide to read the Bible. Why? Because you're Christian. Because the Bible is the living Word of God. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Why do you read the Bible? Because the Bible is God's Word. And the Bible is food for our soul. The Bible is God's revelation that we need. It is the truth to inform our darkened, sinful mind that we can be free from sin. We need to read the Bible. You know what? We read the Bible because we decide to read it. You know, if you read the Bible, how you felt. Wonder how you'd feel tomorrow morning. One chapter? Half a chapter? Oh, a verse. Nope. I'll think about it. No. A decision, isn't it? Say no. I need the Word of God. How much do we need the Word of God? Oh, boy, I guess I need it a lot. Well, I guess I better read quite a few chapters tomorrow. I guess I better be spending time meditating on God's Word. You know, it's decisiveness. That's what the Christian life is about. You know, you're saved. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. Now, we're to act like a Christian. We're supposed to act like we have the Holy Spirit in us. We're supposed to decide because the Holy Spirit is in us. We're born again. We're regenerated. We can decide in God's strength. And so we decide to read the Bible. We read the Bible. We have to decide that we're going to do something about what we read. Whether it's taking that promise and believing it. Whether it's calling that sin a sin and departing from it. Whatever it is, we have to decide. About what we are going to do about God's Word. You know, we come to church because we decide to. That's why we come to church, right? We decide to. I hope you decide to. We decide to come to church because God says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. We decide to come to church because we know we need to hear the Word of God. We decide to come to church because the church is the house of the living God. And the Spirit of God is there. And He's there to convict us. And to move and to illuminate us. And we have a pastor that shepherds us. And is supposed to be led by the Spirit of God to shepherd His people. It isn't a man trying to manipulate His people. He's giving the Word of God. Why? So the people will respond to the God of the Bible. You know, if you got the Holy Spirit in you and the preacher is preaching, you know what? The Holy Spirit says, that's right. That's right. That's right. Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, all you can hear is the man. That's all you can hear. All you can see is the man. Oh man, that guy's trying to manipulate me. Well, I'm not too good at that. I'm not this charismatic kind of guy and kind of just an erupt, tough, ugly farmer, you know? But you know, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit says, you know, he's a sinner just like you, but he's telling you the truth. It's the truth. And I got to do something about it. Because my soul, it isn't between me and that guy. My soul is between me and God. And God's trying to speak to my heart. Are we asleep? Now, just something very practical. Okay? When is the last time you read your Bible and you decided to do something about what you read? When's the time you made a real decision about what the Bible says? You know what I mean, young people? Not writing any devotions. We should be nice to our brother. You know, those standardized devotion answers, okay? And Jacob, why should be nice to my sister or brothers, right? No, it's not I should be. It is I will, right? I will. You know, that's where God lives, isn't it? I will. Decisive. Now, when's the last time that happened all on your own? Well, actually, that should happen every day, shouldn't it? Actually, that should happen more than once a day. We just decide to obey God. Now, let's get a little bit more touchy. When's the last time you went to Sunday school class? Now, some of you couldn't qualify because you're skipping out of Sunday school class. Okay? Maybe you can make a decision about that. Boy, we learned the Bible in Sunday school, right? Amen. Boy, I love Sunday school class. Man, I learn a lot in Sunday school class. Man, I learn a lot by teaching the Bible. I love that. Man, I learn more by teaching sometimes than any other thing. But you know, when's the last time you made a decision in Sunday school class? Oh, you know, we just go to Sunday school to put in our time. Okay. Now let's go to the third one. When's the last time you made a public decision for God? I don't think that we need to be aisle athletes. But you know, I think that The Lord probably wants to get a hold of our lives once in a while. I realize that's an understatement. And I think that once in a while, there's something we really need to wrestle with. And we need to really get it settled. And we need to make a real decision about it. And you know, we know how to make a decision for God. You know, I'm human enough to know, and I realize that, you know, it isn't very far for me to make to get to the altar here. But if you sit in the back, man, you got a long way to go. But you know what? That's a negative. Boy, because you got to swallow a lot of pride to go from that back pew all the way to the front, don't you? That makes it hard to do, doesn't it? Maybe some of you should come closer. I don't know. Of course, don't kick the cookies out of their pew. Okay? But, you know what I'm saying, folks? When's the last time you left church and you said, you know, Lord, I made a decision. I really got something settled today. And, you know, we need to do that. And, you know, if we aren't decisive, we're in big trouble. Now, let me ask a question. Have you ever made a decision about something about 10 times? Anybody done that? Yeah, me too. Made decision about the same thing 10 times. But guess what? If you don't make that decision about the same thing 10 times, probably the 11th time when it really takes hold, you won't make it either. Because that's the way life is. Those who make the decisions that stick are those who make decisions for God. Because they are the ones who say, sin is sin. I need to do something about it. And I need to get on God's side. That's a definite act of the will and of the mind and of the soul. We need to make decisions for God. You know, when's the last time you made a decision on prayer meeting? When's the last time you made a decision on prayer meeting? Now, God's people need to be in prayer meeting, amen? But let me ask a question. When's the last time you made a decision about prayer meeting? He says, well, Pastor, you know, sometimes you don't even give an invitation on Wednesday night. Well, you know what? Most of you are in a prayer group, and you shouldn't. You know what? If you have to leave, if you got an early morning, what you need to do is when you get home from work, take a nap. And then come to church so you don't have to skip out on prayer meeting. Right? Don't skip prayer meeting. Take a little nap. And then you can get a little bit of energy to make it through. But you know, have you ever been to your prayer group? And you know, I don't know how your prayer group does it, but let's just say you have a prayer group and you're going around the circle. And you know it's your turn in two people. And there's sin that you haven't confessed in your life. Do you do anything about it? Do you say, okay, Lord, man, I'm going to have to pray in a couple minutes here. I got to get this thing right. Lord, boy, when I get home, boy, I'm going to get right with my wife because I know I did wrong. Lord, you know what? Whatever it was, you know, Lord, I sinned. And Lord, I confess that. And Lord, I'm going to make sure I'm right with you before I pray. You know what? I think that's normal Christian living, isn't it? You know what it's called? Decisiveness. What about the person who just, oh, no big deal. I'll just pray anyhow. Whew. Missing the point, right? Missing the spirit of what it means to be a Christian. There is a spirit of decisiveness. I find that the compromisers today, they have a bold spirit to decide to do wrong. They have a bold spirit to do the wrong thing. They have a bold spirit to rise up against authority. They have a bold spirit to rise up against that which is right. Oh, they think that they're so brave. They think that they're so spiritual. Let me tell you what, that's just plain carnality. But it's real Christianity when a person decides to do what's right. And that's what we need to be doing every day. Being people that make decisions. People that hear the voice of the Spirit of God and say, Lord, yes. We're all weak, folks. We're all weak. But God's grace is sufficient for us to obey Him. God's grace is sufficient for us to be decisive. You know, you think, oh, Pastor Roberts, he's really that decisive guy. Oh, man. That's not really so true. But thank the Lord for His strength to be decisive when I need to be decisive. Because that's what the Christian life is all about. Being decisive. Now, if you've been wrestling with sin and been letting things go for too long, just by God's grace, in God's grace, ask Him for the strength to start wrestling with the issues of life. And you know, sometimes it starts by saying, Lord, I've been very indecisive. Lord, I've been very indecisive. I've been paralyzed by my indecision. Lord, I'm so paralyzed I can't hardly be decisive, but I know I need to be decisive. Lord, in Your grace, I just come to You deciding that I need Your help to be decisive. Well, we can start there, can't we? Right? We can start there. We can be decisive in even little increments. But God needs us to be decisive. The disciples were decisive. God's people in the Bible were decisive. People in times of revival were decisive. And if we're going to go forward in our life, we have to be decisive. That's what it takes. And you know, think about it. I don't, you know, there aren't many churches today that give invitations, are there? I haven't been around. I guess, I don't know. But they're, I don't think they give invitations, many of them. You know why? I think they aren't really serious about doing anything. They're just floating along. But you know, Jesus said we're supposed to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Amen. And you know, every time Jesus preached, there was an obvious response to His preaching that you could see visibly. There was a decision. And He calls us to be decisive for Him. Let's stand as we sing. What's the number? And I'll pray before we sing. I don't know. You think about another one. I don't think those. Okay, let's pray. Lord, now I pray that in Your grace that You'll help us to be a people of decision. And I know, Lord, to be that, we have to know Your Bible. We have to know truth. Our feelings are not dependable. They can be up and down and all over the place. We're not talking about, Lord, the false feeling that is produced by CCM music and all of that. We're talking about being led by truth, being led by the Holy Spirit of God. We're talking about sometimes cold, stark response to what we know is the truth, just because we know it's the truth. And so, Lord, we all have this need. And I pray in your grace that you will apply it to different lives. While our heads are bowed, maybe as a general start, you say, you know what? I've just been falling asleep. I haven't been decisive. And maybe you could say, you know, it's been a long time since I really made a decision for God. And sin has bound up your soul and bound up your will. You need to confess that sin that you can be free. But you say, no, Pastor, the Lord spoke to my heart tonight that I need to be a decisive Christian, decisive for right. And you're burdened about that. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I want God help to lift me from the spirit of indecision to be a decisive Christian, decisive for right. I have that burden for my soul. Would you raise your hand? Pray for me, Lord, that I'll be a decisive Christian for right. Okay? All right? Amen. Others? All right? Praise the Lord. Put your hand down. Perhaps tonight, even as we've been talking about decisiveness, there is a specific decision that you need to make in your life. You're wrestling with it. And you've been putting it off. But God is speaking to you about a decision you need to make for right. It might be small. It might be big. But you've been neutral. And the Lord is speaking to you that the way that you're going to go forward in your life is about being decisive about right, and by God's grace, you know, God knows your heart, saying, yep, tonight I'm going to surrender to the Lord. I'm going to surrender to the Lord. I'm going to decide to obey Him and let Him have His way in that area of my life. Anyone here tonight, God has spoken to your heart. Okay, praise the Lord. Good. Amen. Okay, anyone else? All right, amen. All right, praise the Lord. Lord, now bless your people. And Lord, we thank you that your grace is sufficient. And I pray and we rejoice as we think of how you are anxious to work in the hearts of the humble. And those that, Lord, you said will humble themselves in your sight, you will lift them up. And Lord, you, in a sense, hear the humble cry of these hearts that know that they have been indecisive, and that they need to become decisive for you, and they're seeking your moving in their life. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll be glorified. And now, Lord, in each of our lives, help us not to tolerate sin. Help us not to be sleepy about what is right, but help us to be decisive in these specific decisions. Might you have your way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mr. Raines.
386, all for Jesus, all for Jesus. Number 386.